It's often difficult, as you know, to decide what to preach. I've decided to do something you've heard before, not the lesson you've heard before, but along the same line as what we've heard recently. When I've taught on this previously, we're going to talk about errors about baptism. You've seen this chart that I have up before you. I put it at the beginning of each lesson for a purpose. Why even study this topic? Matthew 15:14. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. In a moment, we're going to sing a good song that Craig has selected, Kneel at the Cross. There are people that tell you that if you want Jesus to change your life, to forgive your sins, to give you the hope of heaven, you come to the front, kneel down and pray this prayer, and ask Jesus into your heart. And when you kneel at the cross in prayer, you will be forgiven. That's not what that song says. That's not why Craig's led it. The song has a good concept. Kneel at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, for that is our hope. But there are people that are telling people what I just told you. They are believing it. And whatever happens to the leader that told them that, Jesus said, if a blind man leads someone, the person following him will have the same destiny. You don't want that to happen. So when you hear somebody speak, when you get a class book, when you read an article, you have the responsibility of finding out if it's the truth or not. If we could get our friends, our work baptism, or our family members to test what they find themselves in. So 1 Thessalonians 5, we're familiar with it. I'm not ashamed of continually referring to it. Test all things. Or your version may say, examine all things. Young people in our audience, we've got some that are going to college, some that will be going to college. Examine all things. Because somebody says it's science, does it not mean it's true science? The Bible talks about science falsely so called. And there's a lot of things that goes under the banner of science, which means knowledge, that is absolute error. Don't be a professor, the preacher, whoever it be. This is why I'm so thankful for God's providence in preserving this book in my language, because I can do what the Bereans did. Written in Acts 17:11, when they heard the Apostle Paul himself preach, they examined the Scriptures daily to see if the things being said were so. Paul took no offense at that, as many prideful men might. Instead, the Holy Spirit that was guiding Paul commended those people for having that attitude and exercising that diligence. Do not be afraid to open the Bible and see if the way it's applied by we've taught some previous or any other speaker is correct. On April the 20th, another one on October the 21st. Just make a quick note of that. If you weren't here, I'll make you aware of it. But if you were here, it's just a reminder that you can go to this website that Wally has constructed. And these lessons, should you be in a time when you need to study this topic, you can go there and find things that can help you. So we talked about one of them, the cross was saved without being baptized. That concept. Now, the verse I have is just one of several you could refer to. But it's just a note, that very important note, that Hebrews 9:7 says a covenant is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Baptism for remission of sins for those who believe in the resurrected Christ is part of the new covenant. And when that thief on the cross indicated his faith, and Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise, at point, that covenant was not. Here's the idea that baptism, somebody said, I believe in baptism. It's a symbol that I'm already saved. Do not make the mistake of saying, for example, if you have a Baptist friend, they don't believe in baptism. Yes, they do. Don't make the mistake of saying that they don't think you ought to be baptized. That's incorrect. In fact, at least in some Baptist churches, you will not be received into the membership that you're not baptized. Why? That's not what the Bible teaches. Just one verse that we looked at, and there's others, plenty others. But 1 Peter chapter 3 wrote to Christians, and he said, baptism now saves you. Not just symbolizes salvation, but saves you. Now, they use verse 21, misuse verse 21, but we're not going to talk about that again to try to undermine that. But you can go listen to the lessons if you wish. And then here again, people say, well, yes. And if you have a Baptist friend, they'll say you ought to be baptized. You say, why? Because Christ commanded. Preacher, it's true that baptism is for the remission of sins. Nor does the Methodist Church teach it. Nor does the Presbyterian Church teach it. And most churches don't teach it. And folks, there are some churches with Church of Christ on the sign that doesn't teach it. But the fact is, baptism is for forgiveness of sins, to take an unsaved person, wash his sins away, and now the Lord adds him to the group of the saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. On October 21st, we talked about the error that, and this is in a tract of a Christ over here, I believe it's in Cyprus, that does chapter 1, verse 7. Preacher put this tract out. Therefore, he concludes, Paul did not teach men to be baptized to be saved. But that same Paul is the one that spent a year and a half in Corinth and then wrote this letter to them. And when you read about what he did in Corinth in Acts 18:8, it says whatever he was teaching produced this result. Many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. So if he did not send him to baptize, why did he preach in such a way that it caused people to be baptized? That doesn't make sense, does it? Christ sent me not to baptize, immerses you. Actually, the physical, Paul immersing them. It doesn't 22 in verse 16 that he was told. That's the writer of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Then the idea that baptism is a work. This is probably one of the cornerstone defenses against the idea that baptism is necessary for salvation. The word work is defined as something you do. Is that a definition of work? It is a definition of work. As well. But as we pointed out, when Paul says used in different ways works, he's talking about work well as today, where we would merit salvation because we have no guilt that needs to be taken away. And so we read Matthew 16, 15, and 16. Even if we don't know all those verses we talked about, it's very clear that baptism, Jesus taught, is a work of faith. He preached the gospel. He has believed and has been baptized, shall be saved. It's an act of faith. Works that do not require faith will not save anyone. All the deeds, all the money you give, whatever, maybe three others. Now, you young people, we're going to turn our attention. Young people are going to college. If you discuss religion with others, those of you who discuss it maybe with a family member or a co-worker, you'll run across these very things right here if they go to their preacher, if they read their Bible at all. You may well hear these things. Here's John 3:16. You know it. You could quote it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. The argument is, baptism is not in that verse. The word baptism. Verse, right, it isn't. Plain. Is baptism... That's true. But the argument is, since the word baptism is not in that verse, it is not necessary to be saved. So, do people have to change their way of thinking their will to be saved. That's repentance. Can a person say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm going to keep on getting drunk every day? I believe in Jesus Christ, but I've got a few more people I want to murder. He said, no, you can't do that. Why? You've got to repent. There's nothing about repentance in John 3:16, the word itself. You have to confess your faith. The Bible says those who would not confess, but that's not in that verse. It's there, but it's not mentioned specifically. Faith is not mentioned in Acts chapter 2:38. These people said, what do we need to do? We've crucified the Messiah. Verse 37. Peter said, repent and be baptized. The word faith doesn't occur. Did they have to believe? Well, yes, you say, they may say. Back up in verse 36, he told them that they had to believe. The same is true with these other verses. In harmony, you look in verses around it, or in baptism, you find it. In faith. Acts 10:48. Peter's at the house of Cornelius. Who can forbid water that these should not be baptized? Not a word about believing. He said, well, his sermon did. Right. Look at the context. Look at other verses. Acts 22:16. Here's Paul. Ananias said, what are you waiting on, man? Get up. He'd been praying. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You say, well, calling on the name of the Lord implies John 3 says it does. Repentance, confession there, included in it. 3:16, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. We had that on the slide just a moment ago, but not a word about faith. The fact is, faith is often used to include repentance and confession and baptism. And it's a figure of speech. You may not know the word. Your friends may not have ever heard about synecdoche. They may think it's a the idea. You buy it at an expensive restaurant. So, you've got a business. You guys who are going to college, maybe someday you'll be successful, have your own business. And so you put an ad out. I need a hand to help with this job. So a guy shows up. You say, all right, sir, where you're going to start is helping clean up the area. Go get that wheelbarrow and bring it. Start picking up the trash. Hold on, he says. You didn't say anything about my feet. You didn't say anything about the rest of my body or else. You said my hand. Here, hand is put for the person. You say, you dummy, go. I need a person. But a part is put for the whole. Your child comes home from school. What'd you learn today? We learned our ABC. Say them for me. ABC. You happy? You meant, the child meant, hopefully, the alphabet. But three letters are put for 26. We have no problem with that. That's synecdoche. You say, well, does the Bible do that? Oh, it does. How many people, even his prayer, quote unquote, Lord's, but it, which is a misnomer, lesson on prayer, he said, pray this, give us this day our daily bread. Might you like something to drink too? Maybe you'd like some potatoes to go with that. Maybe a little meat. But it says bread. Bread is put for food. That which is necessary for daily sustenance. Nobody even stopped to think about that. How do you know that? One, common sense. One, other passages. There's several ways that you can detect this kind of figure of speech. In James 1, I had two different every translated man in your Bible. In fact, some versions in this verse may translate it every human being. That's not correct. It's man, male this time. Male. So every man that is tempted. Well, what about a woman? Now there's another word for man that just means a human being. You'll study in school anthropology. It's the word anthropology. Use that word. Man, human being. But there's another word that means a male. James used that word. That we don't. Did he mean males? Or did he mean? So here you have the Bible. Can you demonstrate on Stephen's stump is the word that way? That the word faith, John 3:16 says, whoever believes shall be saved. This is the great gospel message. It's a wonderful message. In Acts 16, verse 30, a man asked, what must I do to be saved? This was the Philippian man. Didn't know very much. He heard about these guys preaching. I don't know how much of it he listened to and understood. But right now he knows he's lost. What must I do to be saved? And when Luke invites this, he said, abbreviated, they did say this. Men said a priest. All Luke, guided by the gate. I don't know what. When he wrote his with his pen, this is what he had him write. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. How many people know that verse? That's the one they'll go to. See, John 3, Jesus said, believe, you're saved. No, you'll not perish. Here you have it in Acts 16:31. Believe and you'll be saved. He couldn't do it. He didn't know what to believe. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So what's the next verse say? He took them that verse 30. To teach, verse 32, they spoke to him the word of the Lord. And to all understand. They had to teach him. Teaching about who Jesus is. Jesus. He came. He understood being. Jesus was that very hour of the night. He was taught enough, evidently within about a period of an hour. Which tells you people don't have to know the Bible from beginning to end to be responsible for obeying the gospel. He took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. Now, where in the world did he get that? They didn't say anything about baptism. They said, you got to believe. Something in that period from time to an hour later, when they said, you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It meant believe and repent and be willing to confess your faith and be baptized in his name. But there's more to show that. Look, let's follow Luke. He brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly. What's that phrase? Having been baptized? God, no. Having believed in God with all his whole household. So verse 30, believe. He taught verse 31, include, he rejoined baptism. So, figure synecdoche. Look at Acts 18. Now, if you'll make notes in your Bible somewhere, or back of your Bible, on a pad somewhere, if you got a good mind, you can make it in your head, but that doesn't help me a whole lot, I forget. But, so when you talk to people, you can remember these things. You put a mark from verse 31 on down to verse 34, for example. But look here in Acts 18. This is an easy one. Verse 8. Here Paul is preaching. And it says in verse 8, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. That's all Luke wrote. Then he wrote, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard what? And being baptized that Paul was doing. I have a question. Was Paul preaching to these people in Corinth? Teaching one of them that you just need to believe, another group they had to believe and be baptized? Are there two plans of salvation or one? Did he teach Crispus the same thing he taught those other people? Yes, he did. The word believe in the first part of the verse means believed and were baptized, as Luke makes clear by the last part of the verse. That's not hard. Anybody can show that. Make a note somewhere. You can teach someone, show the error of their thinking. In Acts chapter 11, 18, Go to Acts chapter 11, if you have your Bible with you. Look at verse 18. This is a good one to around. People say they're 11:18. John 3:16. When they heard this, they glorified God's sake. Now, this is the fellow apostles of Peter. They glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." Not a word about faith. Not a word. Did they have to believe? Say, "Oh yeah, repentance. You're not going to repent if you don't believe." I'll tell you something else. If you have faith, you're going to repent and you're going to be baptized too. Repentance is put by the apostles for they believed and repented and were baptized. The last part of chapter 10, Peter. And so here we forbid water that these should be baptized. The hand that men must follow in order to be saved. Now, Jesus, in giving the commission to the apostles and going to all the world and preach the gospel of the whole creation, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. We've got these college students here. So you go to college. They say, if you go to class and pass the course, or watch TV or run with your friends, it comes to the end of the year, "Where's my degree? Did you pass the course?" Who takes the course and passes the course? Who believes and is baptized. But somebody says he didn't say anything about baptism in the latter part of the verse. Who disbelieves shall be condemned. No. You know what? If you don't go to college in the first place, you're sure not going to pass any tests. And if you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized in his. We understand. Didn't have the two together, not be baptized. All right, here's the second one. So we've got this baptistry back here. We say you've got to be baptized to be saved. Here, or some other place where there's enough water to immerse. And one will say, literal water. What's that got to do with sin? Sin is a spiritual thing. Literal water can't touch the soul. And therefore, baptism can't cleanse the soul from sin. Well, let's look at that. Look at Revelation chapter 7. And out of the great tree. And they robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, isn't that interesting? I tell you what you do. You got a white shirt? Tell your wife you'd like to wash it in a washing machine with blood in it and see how it comes out. He didn't mean blood, did he? They've washed their robes white in the blood. Literal blood. He meant not any more than literal. Blood touched. Blood stands for death. Look at Romans 5, 8 through 10. This was very common in the Jewish way of talking. Remember, many of these letters not only were written by Jews, but included at least partially a Jewish audience. Here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, now this is verse 8, he died for us. Now keep reading. Verse 9, much more than having been now saved by his what? Blood. Did he switch topics? That is, for us, and we're justified for us. That's what he meant by that. And so then in verse 10, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So I'm an enemy of God. The only way I can be his friend is have my sins taken away. That's reconciliation through his death. But he said blood. Does blood touch the soul? No. They use blood for the idea of death. With the death of Christ. Look at Romans 6. Just turn the page. These people had already done it. Now he's writing about what they knew they had done. Romans 6:3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his what? Death. What happened? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that if Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of the death of Christ through baptism, because sins were washed away. You were justified, and now you're an innocent person. No, literal water doesn't touch the soul any more than literal blood touches the soul. But both of these are used in connection with the death of Christ, which we enter into a relationship with that death through the act of baptism. Here's the third we want to deal with. Infant baptism is found in the New Testament. If you talk to maybe a Presbyterian, maybe a Roman Catholic, they're taught this, infant baptism. Now, the Methodists used to have infants, children born in sin, but they changed their Lutherans have a little. But infants, in religion today. You say, where you give a little bit different? Well, here it is. Look, Acts chapter 16. And maybe they, if they don't, they go to their preacher. I know this has happened to me. I've talked to men. And he went to his preacher and he came back, you know, here it is, infant baptism. Acts 16:15. Talking about Lydia, when she and her household had been baptized. Not just Lydia, her household. She and all of her children. Read that anywhere? And by the way, if one argues that way, what have they done with the word household? They've made that include something not specifically mentioned. How about that? Fact is, I don't know if Lydia was married. If she was married, I don't know if she had them with her. I don't know if she ever evidently a business. If she was married and had children, possibly. Had them with her on this. Married, had children, had them with them on this trip. Look in verse 33 and 34. Same chapter. Same city, Philippi. Now he preaches to the Philippian jailer. And when he preaches to the Philippian jailer, now here in verse 14, it opened her heart to respond to the things that spoken by Paul. Do you think he preached one message to Lydia and another message to another man in the same city, the Philippian jailer? Or the same message, verse 15, because she wanted to be baptized. She responded. No, she couldn't give the same thing to her that he preached to the Philippian jailer. And over here in chapter 16, verse 33, the jailer took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized and rejoiced, having believed in God. So there's nothing in Acts 16 that will help that idea that they're infants. They were taught. Do you teach a one-year-old about Jesus Christ coming from heaven and he's the Son of God? He came to die for the sins of man. If you're that good, I'd be dipping them in the water in the first place. Or pouring water on them or sprinkling water on them. But you got to teach them. He taught them that same hour that he taught Lydia and her household. 1 Corinthians 1:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. I did baptize the household of Stephanas. You talking about kids? Household. People we taught there in Corinth. We read those verses in Acts 18. I baptized the household of Stephanas. Households had, but it certainly doesn't imply infants and that they were present on the occasions mentioned. Acts 16:32, the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. You teach little babies, the whole household believed. The little baby believed in the baptism of Jesus Christ. I'd like to hear him explain what baptism is, if he did. but over and over again. You know, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts 2, Acts 8, Romans 10, and repentance and confession. All these verses teach that. It simply does not fit infants. Acts 8, 12, 19, 7. Over and over again, you read about them baptizing men and women. Find one verse that talks about them baptizing infants. You will not find it. Men and women. Well, why study it? See, I know all that. There are churches. Christ. That their people do not know what I've talked about this morning. If they once knew it, they've forgotten it. And those churches will receive people whether they've been baptized for the remission of sins or not. Peter was concerned that his readers would forget the things that they had learned. So he said, verse 12, I will always be ready to remind you. So I'm not ashamed of preaching a sermon I know that maybe everybody in this building has heard before. And if I live long enough, I'll probably preach again. You know them. So he said, I'm not teaching anything new. You know it. And have been established in the truth, which is present with you. Verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly tabernacle, to stir you up by way of reminder. Here's a letter in your Bible that says it's a reminder lesson. Also to confirm, Acts 18. So, you know, some of you young people that are in college, some of you who will be in college, you may have some college students in church with you. Sometimes young people get together, they're not grounded in Bible discussions, and maybe somebody brings up some of these objections, and if somebody's not there to refute it, the person who used to believe that baptism was for the remission of sins may conclude, well, maybe these folks who are saying it's not, they're right. You know what you can do? You can be an Apollos. And if you know these verses and you know the context, you can help confirm people in the truth. Look at Acts 18:27. So, he wanted to go across to Achaia. Those who believe, the disciples, to welcome him, help them. This is not monetary help. Note what it says. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public. See, I wouldn't want to embarrass that person. I'm not out to embarrass them, but if it embarrasses them, so be it. And especially, I don't mind if it's going to save this soul over here from believing what they're saying. Be willing to argue about the Bible. To take a stand. But if you're not well equipped, you know, if you don't know how to use a gun or a knife or a sword, you're not really the guy on the battlefield, are you? We're teaching in the temple daily. And some teaching. I don't know how long that went on. But when that church was divided because of the persecution of Paul, may have been a 3-year period, I'm not sure. Those Christians went about preaching the word. Doesn't say preachers went about preaching. That's moms and pops, boys and girls, I guess, that were old enough to be Christians. They went about preaching the word. Pretty hard to preach the word if you don't know anything about the word. Where to turn, what to say. That's why we continually to preach these very things. So kneel at the cross. We're going to sing Kneel at the Cross. It's great to know it's great to believe the story of the cross, but believing it won't save you. That is belief by itself. It's great to want to live for Christ, but that won't save you by itself. You've got to have the faith to confess your faith, regardless of what the results are, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. If you haven't done that, Jesus going to the cross will not help you at all. If you've been to the cross, live for the cross, sing. Die for the cross, carry your cross.